This is a Dog Guide Handlers Australia audio presentation.
Concern. Even with our dogs who go through our guide dog program, they may go through the foster years, may come into training, and we find that perhaps the best job for this particular dog is not a guide dog. That dog, again, would have a career change. Some of our dogs who we feel maybe a little bit too high drive for eye type of work, we donate to our Connecticut State Police Department, and they put their dogs through their own program. They love getting our dogs because of the soundness of our dogs. They've been raised in homes. They have obedience training. They've been well socialized. They have all the skills that they need to be a great dog. And drive may be a little bit of a problem. Of course, that's what police departments are looking for. So if that's where we feel the dog is going to be the happiest, then that's where we put the dog. Other times the dog goes back to the puppy raiser and could be kept as a pet. Sometimes they are put into other types of training, whether it be obedience competition or agility competition, or sometimes they go through therapy dog training, so that those dogs that have all of those wonderful upbringing and skills can go into hospitals and visit sick children or older people who normally don't get out to be able to see dogs. So, again, our goal is to place the dog in the place where the dog is going to be the happiest, and that's our goal for all of our dogs.
I'd like to add two things here. One, when you were speaking about the soundness of the hips, Roberta Command, who ran the breeding program at Fidelco, has stressed to all the students to keep the dogs lean and trim, not to let the dogs get obese, get overweight. It's very taxing on the skeletal structure, and our veterinarians really stress that to us and really praise us when our dogs come in and at a very lean weight. Search and rescue, I think, is something that a few of the career trained dogs have done. And my last Fidelco guide, prior to the one that I currently have, was retired at, I think, age 11, and spent a couple of years with his retirement family, and they had him certified as a therapy dog, so he would go into hospitals. And they told me that out of 89 dogs that went through the therapy training with him, only two had perfect scores, and Graf was one of the two. So I did not know that until after he passed.
Jan, I wondered, and Maria, would you like to answer any questions from the audience? This is a tremendous presentation, just great. But how do you feel about that?
That would be great. Fantastic.
All right. Just hold on for one second. Let me arrange that, please.
There we go. We got it. Okay, again, if you don't have a mic, hit F8, write your question, and enter. If you do have a mic, hit F8, the word question, and enter. Your names pop up. You don't have to write your name or anything. I see Rowena. I believe Rowena had the first question here, please. So, Rowena, I know you have a microphone, so the microphone is yours.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you very much to Jan and Maria for very interesting talk and information today. It's really nice to hear professional opinions about the temperament and working of German Shepherds as guide dogs. As was mentioned at the beginning, we don't have the option anymore in Australia for training with German Shepherds, although they have been trained in the past. the reason that the Australian schools seem to give is because of the public perception of German Shepherds. So it was interesting to hear that Maria uses her Shepherd because it gives her a sense of safety and confidence, and yet the people, public, still have that perception of dogs, even though they're great temperament. But my question would be, I understand that you're a small school, but do you accept applicants from international countries? Because I'm due for a replacement dog, and I'd really like the opportunity to train with one of your Shepherds. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Romina, for the question. And I do understand that, you know, sometimes the German Shepherd can have a bad reputation. And I know many, many years ago here in the United States, when German Shepherds were used by police for crowd control and different types of work, the German Shepherd, of course, here also was looked at as an aggressive dog. However, we've come a very, very long way since then, and because of the use of German Shepherds as guide dogs, and because our police departments right now do a tremendous amount of PR work with their dogs, the dogs are trained better. They are under control and are just great animals, and they have done a very, very wonderful job in their training. So a lot of what you see in Australia, we have had here also, but we have been able to get beyond that. To answer your question about people in other countries, right now, we only accept people who actually are either past Fidelco clients, because we have a very strong bond and relationship with our clients. So if we have a client who has had a Fidelco dog and now live out of the United States, we certainly would service them with another Fidelco dog. But because we are a small school and we do have many, many applicants, we try to keep our clients either on the East Coast of the United States or, you know, as I had mentioned, if they live elsewhere or have relocated, then certainly they would be eligible for reservice. It would be very, very costly for us, obviously, to travel to different countries to place our dogs because of our in-community placement program. But if we have dogs that live elsewhere, sometimes those people do come to our center. We don't have the facilities for them to stay, but sometimes they stay with friends or families in the area, and these are clients that have already had our dogs. So I guess to answer your question, right now we just service dogs who are here in the States.
Yes, Jan, it's Jewel here from New Zealand.
Okay, I think I've got it. Sorry. The next question was Judith. Be sure to put question up there. That's how you're going to be recognized right now, please. So, Judith, I think you had one on coats and warm weather and such. So let's see what you have to say, please. And then we have Nicole and Erica, and I heard Jewel. She'll get in there.
Oh, hi, Jan. I like a few others would love to come to the States if we had our own accommodation to train with you. If that was the case and we were prepared to travel to you and bear the costs of getting our dogs back to Australia or whatever, and the responsibility of that, would you accept us as applicants if we had our own accommodation in New York State or around you somewhere? And then the other question was, the colour of the dogs. We have a lot of hot climates here in Australia, and I wanted the thickness of the coat. Does that vary? Do you have a coat that would be okay for a hot climate in your Shepherds, in most Shepherds? Thanks.
Well, thank you for your question. As you know, the coat of a German Shepherd can be quite heavy. I think we call them German Shedders instead of German Shepherds. They do have quite a heavy coat, although a lot of the breed stock that we are using now does not have that thick, heavy, dense undercoat because that can be problematic. Our dogs come in several different colors. We have the traditional black and tan German Shepherd with the saddle on the back. We have what we call a sable or gray German Shepherd, which is a combination of black and brown. We have also solid black German Shepherds, which have no coloration on them all. They're quite lovely looking, very sleek looking. The coats of the German Shepherds, during spring and fall, just like any other breeds, will require quite a bit of brushing. The dogs that we have now in our program have a little less of a dense coat, so it makes it easier for the dogs to work when the weather is very, very warm. Although, you know, we have to take precautions, just like if you have a black lab or any other dark-colored dog, you know, the sun, of course, is going to absorb into those dark colors more than they will into a lighter-colored dog. And, of course, you know, labs and goldens shed just as much. Their hair is just a little bit shorter. So grooming with a German Shepherd, just like with your other breeds, should be done on a regular basis to keep that coat nice and shiny and short, especially during the heavy shed times, which, of course, are going to be spring and fall. As far as clients coming to us, once again, we have many, many clients on our waiting list. So at this time, we accept people that are from our area only. But, of course, if any of you are ever in our area and you would like to visit our school, take a tour of our facility, we certainly would love to show our facility off and show you what German Shepherds are like and the types of dogs that we have. So everyone is always welcome if they're ever here in the States on the East Coast. We would welcome and love to have you.
Okay, very good. I think, Nicole, you're next, and you have a microphone, I believe.
Yes, my question is, I guess, a bit of a follow-on from the coat question in that I'm curious about what, if any, kind of allergies German Shepherds tend to suffer from. Is there problems like with skin or ears and feet? Because my Labrador, I've got some problems with allergies with him because of the warm, humid climate. So I'm just wondering how the Goldens, how the German Shepherds go.
Having a little bit of difficulty hearing the question, but I think, please correct me if I'm wrong, the question had to do with allergies and the types of allergies that the dogs may have. Our dogs, of course, just like any other dogs, every dog is different and some are prone to have allergies. The biggest one that we have a tendency to find here in the United States, some of our dogs have seasonal allergies and are particularly sensitive to oak leaves, which have a tendency to drop in our fall, which is September and October. So sometimes that can be a problem. We try once again to support our dogs with, as Maria had stated, a very high quality diet. We feed a dog food called Abity, which is made in New York. It's a very high quality food. We do recommend that when our dogs go out, they are kept on this particular type of dog food because it will give them the best that they need to keep them healthy. Of course, it's a little bit more expensive than other brands of dog food, but just like keeping ourselves healthy, sometimes doing that and by eating things that are good for us can be a little bit more expensive than other brands of dog food. However, in the long run, when you look at things that can affect the dog, whether it be a food allergy or an environmental allergy, if you can keep the dog on a high-quality food to give the dog's immunity system the best boost that it can get, you find that in the long run, even though the food may be a little bit more expensive, your vet bills will probably not be as high because of the quality of food that you're feeding the dog. So in the long run, I guess, keeping the dog in top quality condition, keeping the dog's weight as it is, watching what the dog ingests is really going to make a big difference in helping with things that may affect the dog, whether that be allergies or not.
Okay, and Rick, if you could raise Jan's volume just a bit, if you could. But if you can't, that's quite all right. Erica wants to know where you get your funding. And Jelica, and I'm mispronouncing this, I apologize, says, can one purchase a puppy and take it back to Australia? Those are the two questions.
There's something, I think that food is more often a cause of allergies than environmental stimuli, and I would definitely check the ingredients of the dog food.
Okay, let's see. Did you get my two questions here from our ladies? One, Erica wants to know the funding, and Jelica, I think her name is, my screen reader's messing it up, I apologize, wants to know if you can purchase a puppy to take back to Australia. Ruth Ann, I hope you're getting this.
In purchasing a puppy, we do have dogs that we do, again, do not put into our program. However, again, because we are a very small school, what we try to do is to, in our breeding program, we try to determine, what our need is going to be for guide dogs in 2 years from now, because we need to start breeding and getting puppies now for what our demand is going to be in 2 years. So many times we don't, have a lot of puppies that we have for sale that are going out. And most of the puppies that we feel would be best suited as guide dogs are actually placed right into our guide dog program.
All right, and then we have Giselle has a question. I think she has a microphone.
Yes, thank you, Bob, and thank you also to Jen and Maria. It's a wonderful presentation. My question, my guide dog, a Labrador, was recently retired because she hurt accidentally a member of the public. With the perception of German Shepherds, have you had any problems whatsoever with, say, German Shepherd reverting to its nature and maybe hurting someone by accident?
I have difficulty understanding the question.
Could you repeat the question?
Yes, Jan, as I got it, she wondered, have you had any trouble, again, with the perception of the shepherd? I think that was, I'm correct there. She said her dog was a lab and felt that people had a bad perception of her dog. I think I have it right.
No, it wasn't just a perception. My Labrador actually hurt someone. So I'm just wondering whether there have been accidents where a German Shepherd has hurt a member of the public.
Okay, I'm sorry, Giselle. Again, her Labrador hurt someone, member of the public. Has that happened with German Shepherds, any German Shepherds you've had that hurt members of the public?
However, people, again, who like dogs, enjoy dogs, we find that a lot of them, or most of them, and that is a problem with a lot of our guide dog users, is people, want to come over and pet their dog and talk to their dog. I'm sure, it's the same with other breeds. However, we also find that people who may see a German Shepherd working with a person, I think they're going to think a little bit more about doing some harm to that person if they have a German Shepherd at that side, opposed to having a Labrador or a Golden.
I'm up here so that I can let you know what's going on.
And I think the reason being is, once again, the person who may have ill intentions. They don't know what the dog is going to do. And you have a dog who is well-bonded and is loyal and is devoted. And for those reasons, even though the dog is trained and always discouraged from showing any signs of aggression, just by having the dog there may be a deterrent enough. And again, you never know, just like with any dog, and I really, doesn't matter if it's a shepherd or a lab or a golden, you know, a dog is a dog, and the dog can react if their owner is under a certain amount of duress or stress, the dog may react to that. But I think, once again, as a deterrent itself, probably the shepherd will be looked at a little bit more carefully. We have no problem at all with people. People approach our dogs all the time. As a matter of fact, what we try to do in education here with our shepherds is when the dog has a harness on, don't bother the dog, because a lot of people, they see the dog, they want to come over, they want to pet the dog, they see that the dog is friendly, and of course that can be a huge distraction, as you know, for a guide dog. So we have more of a problem with people trying to pet the dogs rather than, you know, staying away from the dog. So here in the United States, that hasn't been a problem for us at all.
And our dogs look so alert. If I'm standing on the subway platform waiting for the train, my dog is sitting at my side leaning against me, looking up at me. And I don't know if you're on the metric system. We aren't. But my dog is 31 inches at the shoulder. He's very big, very dark. And he's the sweetest thing in the world. But just that presence is such a deterrent.
Okay, very good answer there, and very interesting. We're going to have, I believe she's one of the leaders in Australia, Nadia. We're going to have you, and then Geraldine, you're after Nadia. So, Nadia, the microphone is yours, please.
This is Rowena. Nadia's left the room, so continue, please.
All right, is Geraldine there, please?
Yes, hello, and thank you very much for your time this morning here in Western Australia, obviously this evening in America. I just wondered, my last two guide dogs have had arthritis, and my second guide dog had arthritis at a very young age, and she had to be retired because it was so bad. Plus she had another problem with her spine. So I was just wondering, are the German Shepherds prone to arthritis, or are they fairly healthy as far as that goes? Thank you.
Well, thank you, Geraldine, and I'm sorry to hear that you experienced problems with arthritis in your dog and that she had to be retired because of that. That certainly, I'm sure, must have been very devastating to you. We again, are very careful about what we have, but just like hips, you know, you can have breeding stock and you can have dogs that are very, very healthy, and you may have a dog that could be prone to either hip dysplasia or, you know, arthritis in the elbows. For us, it has not been a problem. There are, you know, certain individuals who, you know, may pop up from here or there that may have a health problem, but that is not the norm with our dogs. Our dogs are generally quite healthy, and their longevity is very, very good. The last German Shepherd that I had, he was actually a PR dog for us at Fidelco. I unfortunately lost him about 2 months ago or so, and he was a very, very big, large, huge, gentle giant. He was, I could have children all over that dog and never even think twice about people approaching him. He was so gentle, so mellow, but he lived to over 13 years old and had very little health problems until the very, very end, where unfortunately we found that at the ripe old age of 13 that he did have cancer. And that's when, you know, I had to make the decision to have him put down because I was not willing to, you know, go on to let him suffer. He was too great of a dog and loved him too much. So our dogs really live to a very, very old age. We actually have a dog right now in the kennel who has just retired. She is 13 years old. And still going strong. As a matter of fact, she just retired recently, and one of our staff people have adopted her to live in their home with their family for the remainder of her life. And she's showing not a whole lot of signs of slowing down, so that's a very, very good thing.
May I also add that Roby had run the breeding program, and I suspect kept very detailed records, health records, among other things, of the puppies that resulted from the various breedings, and, you know, noticed whether there were health or temperament, whatever type of problems. I suspect that if there seemed to be an issue that pair was not bred together again. And the students keep in touch with the school and let them know if they're having any problems. So there's a lot of communication back and forth.
Okay, we have two more questions that I have, and Jewel. We'll give Jewel the last question. I promised her I would. But first, the funding. Well, how do you get your funding? This has come up. And Jay asks, I think, a good question. How does the Shepherds relate to their puppy raiser, the trainers, and the handlers? How do they make that switch? Do they do it easily? Or... Well, that's it. Do they do it easily? And the other was the funding. Thank you.
Very good. Well, our funding, we are a nonprofit organization, so we do not get any support from our government, whether it be local or federal. We do all of our own fundraising on our own. We're very, very fortunate to have many corporations that support our efforts. Individuals through donations. We do many, many large fundraising events throughout the year. So our fundraising department, our development department is very, very, very busy, and rightly so. We do not sell our dogs, our guide dogs, to people. The training that the dog has received from the time it was born up until it goes out as a guide, all the training that our client receives, the equipment, the collar, the leash, the harness, the bowls, the dog bed, all the instruction that the client receives, all the time training, medical stuff with the dog, is all provided to our clients at no charge. However, there is a hefty price tag that goes along with a guide dog. From the time that the puppy is born until it is retired, and that includes all of our follow-up work, all of our visits from the time that the person gets the dog until they retire the dog, all of that is done at no charge. But it costs Fidelco about $45,000 per dog from the time that they're born until they are retired. And we're very, very fortunate not to have to charge our clients for their dogs. The other question, as far as the bonding goes, it really isn't that bad of a transition. When the puppies are with us, of course, their first bonding is to our puppy house staff. They are very, very bonded to them because they are their first contact with humans. And then, of course, they go into their puppy raiser home and they bond with them because that is the person who is with them the majority of the time, who love them, who raise them, who provide them with a safe, loving environment. When they come into the kennel, because we see them on a frequent basis, again, they're familiar with our kennel, they're familiar with our staff, they love coming back because we see them every Saturday. So it's like, you know, coming home and going to school. And then, of course, with the transition from trainer to client, because we do in community placement and we work individually, the dog lives with the person, but they see the trainer every single day. And it takes a very, very short amount of time for the loyalty to switch from the trainer to the client because the trainer is there every day. The one thing I have to say, though, is that when our dogs come back, whether it be for an event that they come back for or whether it be for just a visit to our facility, if the guide dog, even if it's been out 2, 3, 4, 5 years, when the guide dog comes across the foster family, the puppy raiser who raised them, or their trainer, it may take them a second or two to figure out who they are, but they never, ever forget. There will be hoots and hollers and jumping and licking and everything that is so unbecoming of a guide dog. That dog remembers its trainer. The dog will remember its puppy raiser and will be extremely excited and happy to see them. But it's very interesting also that as soon as all that excitement is finished, the dog has greeted and has acknowledge their trainer or puppy raiser, they immediately go back to their handler and, again, resume their responsibilities as a guide dog. And I just find that so incredibly amazing with a German Shepherd dog, how they have that unbelievable memory and that loyalty and devotion, but they know where their loyalties lie. When they are working with a client. It's really, I've been doing this for a very long time, and in seeing these reunions and how the dog reacts, it still totally amazes me.
Well, oh, just so exciting here. Jewel, I think you're the last person, unless Judith and Roy, we don't want to wear out our speakers. She's really... Everybody's made sacrifices here, and we thank you so much. Jewel, my friend from New Zealand, is last here.
Yes, it's Jewel here. Yes, all right, we know all about that. Yes, Jan, I am an owner-trainer, and I have been for 50 years. I trained my first dog when I was 21, and she was actually the first guide dog ever trained in New Zealand. That was a German Shepherd. And since then, I've had two purebred shepherds. That was Mitzi, who was the one I've just mentioned, and the dog I've got now, Guido. And in between those, amongst other breeds, I've had a German Shepherd cross. And I certainly agree with you on their longevity and willing to work. Guido is 13 now. Well, he'll be 13 in October. And my workload is pretty light, and he's pottering along very happily, has developing cataracts, but he can still see well enough to get me around. And I just have one query, though, about your age of training, which does coincide with schools around the world. But as I'm an owner-trainer, of course, I can do as I like, and... I start training my dogs at around about 8 months old, and by the time they're a year old, they are out working on the street. And actually, they're, they're working while I'm training them. I train and work at the same time. but by the time they're a year old, they are fully able to do everything. And our own guide dog services, they will qualify a dog. But look, I'm sorry, Jan, I've got to go. I've been quiet.
Oh boy, Jill's having a lot of fun. Jan, let's see if you can answer or make any comment to her question. This is a lady who's trained her own dogs.
I actually didn't hear the whole question. It was a little bit garbled. So, Bob, if you can repeat what she was asking.
Okay, basically she said that she started training her dog at 8 months old, and by a year they were ready. She worked and trained them. She kind of made a comment, and she said, your training is consistent with schools around the world. I don't know what comment you wish to make here, but if you do, please do so.
Well, thank you. I think that that's fantastic. And, again, I think that each dog is an individual and, you know, again, should be treated as such. Our dogs, they go through quite a bit of training. We not only will train them, again, to work in cities and in the country, to ride all public transportation. We actually, again, start out with the young puppies very, very early. And we have found that if we push our dogs through too quickly before they're mature, before they're ready to go on, then a lot of times what happens is they start to break down a little bit because they're not ready to establish that type of responsibility. However, again, that all depends upon the individual dog. But since, again, the way that we do our particular training, we have the luxury of having the dog mature, having the dog get older, and not placing that dog out until the dog is ready to go. Some of our dogs, once again, if they're mature and we feel that they would be able to come into our training program, we may bring some of the females in a little bit earlier, and they, of course, finish up a little bit earlier. But again, the way we do our training, we really do have the luxury of waiting until the dog is ready. Not all schools, actually most schools, do not have that type of work. They have to have X amount of dogs ready for students that are coming into a particular class and have to match the dogs up as best they can with the clients and the dogs that they happen to have ready. But our program being a little bit different, we can take the opportunity to take our time and to make sure that the dog is fully ready to go out there and work, again, depending upon the individual animal.
Okay, Judith, I think that concludes here, but let's have a final word from you or whatever else you wish to add here, please. You or Rowena, perhaps. Okay.
Oh, thank you very much, Robert. Thank you very much, Jan and Maria, and for everyone for attending. This has been so thought-provoking, and a lot of information has been gathered and gained by us, Jan. We thank you so much for your time, and we can tell you're so passionate about your work and your shepherds, and that passion is growing here in Australia, so I'm afraid we're going to have to find some avenues to get shepherds working here again for us in Australia, I believe. Thank you so much. If any other comments, we'll just give a brief chance for that, and then we'll sign out. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, if anybody is interested in looking at our website, we certainly, you can find us at www.fidelco.org. And we have a lot of information up there, not only about our dogs, but events that are going on and our clients, as well. So please visit us. And again, if you are ever in our part of the world, we would love to have you visit our facility and learn more about the German Shepherds and about the Fidelco Guide Dog Foundation. I'd like to thank you all and Maria as well for joining us today. Certainly if there are any other questions that we were not able to answer, my name is on the website there as well, and you're welcome to email me, and I'd be more than happy to answer any questions that we were not able to get to tonight.
And I want to thank you for being able to participate also. I'm sorry, I think my phone's disconnected like four different times now, so I keep coming in and out of the conference.
This has been a Dog Guide Handlers Australia audio presentation. If you would like further information on Dog Guide Handlers Australia or like to listen to further audio, please go to our website, www.dgha.org.au. Thank you. Do you always have to have the last word?